Dubai Eye
103.8. What's your smartphone doing to you? Is it changing you as a person? Is it changing your identity? Is it changing your character? Is it, dare I say it, turning you into a zombie? Or are you raising zombies? Or has your loved one turned into a zombie because of the smartphone? Look, the reason I want to ask this one is there is new research out suggesting that more than half of children in the UK sleep with their mobile phone next to their bed. A study by Childwise found kids are getting mobiles at an earlier age, with the majority owning one by the age of 7. The report found they spend 3 hours and 20 minutes each day messaging, playing games and being online. Is this the case? We'll find out not just about children, we'll find out about adults, pedestrians and, of course, you in a few moments' time. The man who's going to guide us through that is the medical director at the DNA Health Centre, and as a functional medicine specialist, his approach to healing is highly individualised. DNA, you can find, is located within Jumeirah Al Qasr, the heart of Madinat Jumeirah. Dr. Nasser Al Jafari, thank you so much indeed for joining us this morning.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Are you seeing this effect? I mean, we get the results, we get the research figures coming through. As a medical professional, are you seeing a change?
Listen, I don't think it's that easy to directly put it to smartphone usage. But what I am seeing is increases in overall stress, anxiety, sleep disruption. And you've got to be living under a rock not to kind of associate smartphone usage, tablets, etc., technology, with increases in stress and sleep disruption. It's been well documented.
And are we talking all ages here?
I get to see more of the kind of adult cohort, but certainly I'm getting more and more kids coming through with developmental and behavioural issues. Again, it's difficult to pinpoint it back directly to smartphone usage. But there's strong kind of observational studies that are showing kind of changes in people's psychological state, behavioral development, physical state as well. So whilst there's people kind of on the other side of the argument saying there isn't any studies showing kind of a direct correlation, I think we're potentially sleepwalking into a little bit of a public health epidemic.
Interesting you use the word sleepwalking, because there is a big focus here in these latest figures about the number of children that are allowed to take their devices to bed, be it their tablet. And just looking at some of the figures here, 24% of 3- and 4-year-olds have their own tablet, 15% of them allowed to take them to bed. Meanwhile, the amount of young phone owners doubling between the ages of 9 and 10, according to Ofcom back in the UK, which is now dubbed the age of digital independence. Are we sort of... Times were that you went to bed and read a chapter in your book or something like that. And now, are parents now being more willing to allow their children to take their devices home to put themselves to sleep?
I think it's just a done thing now. It's a natural progression from reading books to integrating technology into your life. But, I mean, we shouldn't gloss over sleep. If you think about it, evolution developed this beautiful system of sleeping for the third of the day. And if you think about it from a survival advantage, it's a pretty ridiculous thing that, you know, there's 8 hours of the day that you're not foraging, procreating, but it just shows you how important it is to our survival. Yet in the last 70 years, we've eroded sleep from 8.5 hours. This is for adults, to less than 6.5 hours. And we don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's even worse for children. You know, it disrupts REM sleep, length of sleep. It creates anticipatory anxiety, fear of missing out, all sorts of issues when it comes to sleep. And that's unfortunately overlaying into every aspect of a child's life. You factor in also the fact that now schools are starting earlier. I wouldn't be surprised on average if kids are getting less than 5-6 hours sleep, when really they should be up above 9.
And that, I mean, you bring so much to the table there for parents and children to try and divulge. Who should be doing more here? Is it a parental responsibility to ensure that your child gets enough sleep?
Yeah, listen, it is. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all, a lot of us here are parents. It's a tough battle. Yeah. There's only so much you can do to control your environment. On the other side of the argument, you know, if you're depriving your kids of technology, then they're potentially missing out in a social aspect, ironically. Even though we're connected, actually, in a way, we're a little bit disconnected now. You know, everything's become depersonalized. So, I think there's good habits you know, certainly with sleep hygiene. So no one's saying take technology away, but certainly limit technology usage. Don't use it around bedtime. Mm. You know, the bedroom is really used for sleep. If you start using your technology and watching TV before you go to bed, then you know, your body's just going to get confused and think it's just for lounging around, and actually that's going to feed into disrupted sleep. So there are things that you can do, but yeah, it's not easy.
We focused a lot on children since we've started this conversation. Let's sort of up the ante a little bit to adults, who you see money more coming through the door as well. What is the impact of the phone on the adult life these days? Not just in terms of sleep. I think we've addressed that isn't an issue. But is it this whole idea, as again, that we've talked about here on the show in the past, just constantly being on, and the inability for us to turn off?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, from a personal perspective, you know, we have a WhatsApp group at work, and you're just constantly getting updates, all sorts of
the
hours
scourge
of the day.
Of the WhatsApp group,
and,
yeah,
and it's just it chips away at you. You know, on an individual level, you won't recognize it, but for sure, it's creating a kind of wired, as you said, zombie type population. And it's, you know, everyone talks about stress, and the WHO now has said that it's one of the health epidemics of the 21st century. I think the devices feed into that significantly. It's just keeping us in that fight or flight scenario, and less people are able to get out of that into the sort of rest and digest state. And that's really feeding into all sorts of chronic disease and all-cause mortality.
And is part of the problem that it is at our fingertips now, as opposed to you used to have to make an appointment to watch your episode of LA Law or Dynasty or wherever it might have been back in the day, or you used to make time to read a chapter of a book or do whatever was your sort of relaxation. Now, the fact that we have it pretty much at the end of our arm, in our palms at all times, is that what's causing the problem, that inability for us to see right from wrong?
Yeah, there's no downtime. I mean, you look at Apple. I mean, yeah, okay, put their great design aside. They've just interconnected everything in your life and just made it so convenient. I mean, I just got an Apple Watch a couple of weeks ago. Do I really need it? No. But, you know, there are some useful accessories to it. I do enjoy it. But again, it's another device that I'm checking.
The average UAE resident spends 6 hours a day glued to their smartphones. That's according to YouGov Omnibus survey back in 2018, the back end of 2018 as well. Again, I mean, I'm asking you for sort of to decipher the research for us. Is there an optimal time we should be spending on the small screens, on our smartphones? And how do we answer the naysayers out there who go, well, this is my work, this is what I rely on in order for an income?
I don't think we have the quality of research out there that can give us a threshold. A lot of it's kind of finger in the air stuff. And you find that a lot with some of the lifestyle guidelines, you know, even things like, you know, five fruit and veg a day. It wasn't really based on any evidence. It was the same with, you know, cut saturated fat. These things seem to filter into existence with not much evidence base. But yeah, I don't think it takes a genius to say there needs to be some sort of limits, particularly with young kids. And I've seen guidelines, you know, kids under 2 shouldn't really be handling these sort of devices just because of brain development. I think, you know, the argument to say it's just my work and it's my lifestyle, a little bit of the kind of naive approach. I mean, it's our lifestyle that's killing us. So, you know, if you have insight into that, which a lot of people don't, and you're happy to, you know, continue wandering around down that path, then fine.
I got a message that came just through from Sanjay out there. Just going to get your reactions to this one. Sanjay says, mobiles have made relationships transactional. I hate how dumbified, not a real word, I appreciate, conversation, expression and emotion have become. I feel like emotions need to fit in or be defined by stupid emojis, else they aren't real. It's a horrible time, says Sanjay. Concur?
Completely, and he's kind of touching on a little bit the whole dating scene. I mean, I'm lucky in the fact that I settled down before online dating came in, because it's just depersonalized the connection, you know, the soft skills, social skills, along with dating, the whole courting process. It's just completely changed from how we evolved to live. I completely concur. It's an interesting set of situations. Let it shine.
This is The Agenda with Tom Urquhart
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
So new research out suggesting that our smartphones are turning us into zombies and they're becoming something of a health hazard, not just in lack of sleep and lack of awareness, but also in some fatalities. The reason we are asking this, new research suggesting that texting and scrolling on touchscreens has sent pedestrian injuries soaring by, get this, 800%, according to scientists. A review of evidence shows distraction injuries are now a significant problem and are causing growing numbers of accidents. Being engrossed in texting and social media has led to people walking into lampposts, stepping out into traffic, and tripping over. Up to half, 45% of pedestrians are distracted by their phones when crossing the street in busy cities, according to research. Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari is the medical director at the DNA Health Centre, located within Jumeirah Al-Qasr, at the heart of Madinat Jumeirah. He's live with us here in studio. Pedestrians not paying enough attention because they're looking at their phones and they're plugged in. Drivers are not paying enough attention because they're looking at their phones are plugged in. It doesn't paint a pretty picture, does it?
Guilty as charged. You know, I think we've all done it at some point. Yeah, you just have to look around you when you're on the road. I mean, look at other people, and a lot of people are on their smartphones. What happened to just having some downtime on the drive to work? Similarly, walking along the street, as you said, pedestrians. I don't work in an A&E, but I'm sure there's been an upturn in accidents for sure.
Zines, you've got questions coming in from listeners. What are they asking?
Yes, this is more of a cry for help. Help! I spend more than 9 hours on my smartphone. I'm totally addicted and I'm in my 40s. How can I help myself?
And ditch the phone. You know what? I think probably the most powerful intervention I've seen is when people actually take themselves away to a retreat and have a full-on digital detox. So they're not allowed to use their phone. Some people go to the extent of they're not even allowed to talk for a week, combined with, you know, nutritional interventions, meditation, sleep optimization. And they come back so turbocharged that it's actually changed the way that they kind of live their life.
This is another sort of little point we just want to put to you is, again, because we started this conversation asking about research and how much we can read into the research. Amy Orban, a scientist at the University of Cambridge, is saying now that there is not evidence that smartphones are affecting our brains, be it on mental health, the ability to concentrate, and sleep patterns. In fact, she says there is very little evidence for these concerns, and even less high quality, robust, and transparent evidence. That lack of high quality evidence makes the question really difficult to answer. Again, how do you react to that finding? Because again, we're getting this situation where we've got research, so say, to back up both sides of the argument.
I wonder whether she had any disclosures to make. that's the problem with a lot of research is you can always spin it to fit your premise. And the problem when you're looking at a lot of these are observational studies, it's difficult to find causality. But I think it's a very dangerous approach to take to say that there's no research. I mean, back in the 50s and 60s, everyone could have said the same thing about smoking and lung cancer. And then when the longitudinal studies came out, we realized it was a massive public health epidemic. I worry that, you know, digital smartphone usage is one of those.
You know, when we said a little bit earlier on, and interesting to get your perspective as a functional medicine specialist, you know, there's one thing going to your GP and saying, "Doc, I need help. You know, I can't get off my phone. Prescribe me with something, etc." But surely everything we're talking about here starts with the individual. It starts with a choice from you. So what do you say to people when they come into you and complain that they are becoming something of a digital addict?
Well, I think, first of all, they don't have any insight into the problem. I mean, all the focus seems to be on nutrition and exercise. There's big sort of commercial industries about it. It's nice to see this sort of thing filtering in. I mean, we're having a show about it now, which never probably would have happened 5-10 years ago. You know, people are beginning to realize that this feeds into other pillars of health. And we've spoken about stress and sleep. And when you explain it to people and actually we can quantify it through testing. Okay, again, we're not able to directly link the smartphone usage to that test result, but it doesn't take a genius to work out that it's one of the variables that's feeding into those pillars.
And in terms of limiting usage, I mean, is that something that you would not prescribe, but recommend as well to people? And just how simple is that in And again, you know, previously we were talking about us being time poor here. Mm. But is that something? Is that an excuse that we fall back on here? Can we all find time?
We can find time. It's about prioritizing. And you know, I'm having a lot of conversations, which is in a similar space around mindfulness with clients. It never would have featured in a conversation, a consultation again, not 10 years ago, certainly, and certainly not in the NHS. Mm. People are beginning to embrace it more and are kind of dipping their toe and actually reaping the rewards of you know, spending even just 5 minutes a day.
What's your advice? We've had a lot of people texting in this morning saying, I need help. I need help. I'm spending too much time on my phone. It's changing me as a person, etc. If you've got somebody in your family you're concerned about, though, if you're not having good conversations within your home, if your child is becoming a little bit distant or spending too much time on their phone, what's your advice to concerned partners or parents out there if they are seeing a change in the character of their loved ones around them?
I think if it's a child, then you may even need to go to the extent of using a child sort of behavioral psychologist to help you out there, because the impact could be detrimental and lifelong. I think when it comes to an adult, like any sort of addiction, there needs to be a delicate conversation to make the person realize that they have support and that there is an issue. If that's not working, then again, there may need to be some sort of an addiction support professionally.
It's a massive issue. It is something that needs to be addressed. Dr. Nazar Jafari is the medical director at the DNA Health Centre. All looking good for 2020. January's done and dusted.
Strong start, yeah. Let's keep going.
Anything new in the pipelines down there?
We're experimenting with a few things. Just watch this space and we'll let you know what's happening.
Good on you. The DNA Health Centre is located within Jumeirah Al Qasr, at the heart of Madinat Jumeirah. Do get yourself down there to find out how they can help you. Nas, thanks so much indeed for being with us.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Big thanks to all of you, Zina. Well done, you. You spent 15 minutes there not looking at your phone as well, so that's good.
I have been looking at my phone.
Oh, have you? Can't do without it.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.